the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to the MJA podcast. We have spoken before on the pod about the importance of making sure research participants are representative of the wide spectrum of Australia's society, and not just those of us who live in the big cities. A relatively new initiative in Victoria is working to connect rural, regional and outer metro patients with clinical trials in partnership with Alfred Health in Melbourne.
Trial Hub is a federally funded program looking to improve access to clinical trials for people living in outer metro, regional and rural Victoria.
That was Anne Woollett, the director of Trial Hub, which is moving into phase two of its rollout with high hopes for becoming a national program. Anne is my special guest today. You're the director of Trial Hub. What exactly is Trial Hub and what is it trying to achieve?
Trial Hub is a federally funded program looking to improve access to clinical trials for people living in outer metro, regional and rural Victoria, with a focus on specifically on cancer.
Why is it needed? What's the issue with needing to have regional people involved in trials?
So at the moment, people in regional Victoria in particular have to travel long distances to access clinical trials. So they need to travel to a big metropolitan health service to access clinical trials, which is a cost impediment to them. It costs them a lot of money. They often have to take time off work. They often need a relative to support them. There just isn't that access in these regional and rural communities for them to get onto a clinical trial.
And from a researcher's point of view, why is it important to have people other than metropolitan people involved in trials?
We need cultural diversity to really understand how the new medications work. So if we just enrol people from like a metropolitan cohort or a metropolitan population, we miss the diversity both in terms of culturally, financially, linguistically. All the different demographics are not represented when we just take people from a single population or a single community.
And what are the benefits for patients in being involved in a trial?
Oh, there's so many benefits to patients. They get access to potentially new therapies that may be of benefit to them. They often feel that they get benefit for their families or other people into the future. So there's an altruistic benefit for people as well. There's usually, if we can get them access locally, there's benefits in that way as well.
So you mentioned that the current focus is on cancer trials. Which ones are you focusing on particularly?
So our remit is to focus on prostate cancer, rare cancers and melanoma, just focusing on specific cancers within regional and rural communities. Means that we can't build sustainable clinical trial units, and so we have had a remit to support any clinical trial activity in those regional centres, because small communities, they see breast cancer, they see colon, they see all types of cancer.
Are these trials going to be teletrials specifically, exclusively, or are there trials that are going to be set up within communities that can be handled person to person?
The model that we've adopted is we've taken the teletrial model as our first step. And what we've said is that the teletrial model offers a strong degree of mentoring and support. So you have a clinician in a primary centre or a metropolitan centre, a clinician or a senior support person in a regional centre, and you use the teletrial model to upskill and support those regional centres. So over time, there's this mentoring using the teletrial model, but over time, we transition more of the activities and more of the investigations and the actual treatments to those regional centres with the long-term view that there will be sustainability in those regional centres. So we'll always have mentoring and a partnership or a network. But over time, we'll use that teletrial, and there's a thing called a supervision plan, which guides what treatments are delivered where, and we use that to upskill and gently transition to those regional centres.
Presumably, there's infrastructure needed for teletrials. Is Trial Hub supplying that infrastructure or supplying funding for that infrastructure?
So most health services now have telehealth, and that's standard. And COVID has really taken telehealth to a new level of, it's just integrated within standard of care now. So most of the infrastructure for telehealth services is provided. The Child Hub program provides is really on top of that, the mentoring support, upskilling of the workforce, both clinicians, coordinators and pharmacists, to actually be able to deliver trials using the teletrial model.
Who have you partnered with at this point?
We started off in our stage one with one outer metropolitan health service, which was Peninsula Health, one regional health service, which was Bendigo, and one rural health service, which was La Trobe Regional Health Service in Gippsland. And we've just expanded our program to stage two, and we've partnered with Mildura, and we're looking to partner with Bass Coast as well.
You mentioned that it was federally funded. Are there plans to expand beyond Victoria?
The program is set up as a pilot to be tested across Victoria. Could you get the breadth and reach within a one state? Having said that, we have done some teletrials with Tasmania as well, just because of the close proximity and the support between the health services and existing arrangements. But should the model be shown to be financially viable and sustainable, the aim is that it'll be replicated across all the states and territories in Australia. And we've already had some initial conversations with New South Wales and with Queensland about how we can partner and look to make sure that as the program expands, it's integrated within the plans that those health services have.
Is it too early to say how it's going?
Well, we think it's going really well. We've spent the first 2 years really building the foundations, and we've done some evaluation of our workforce. So we've started off building a workforce in our health services, and there has been no pharmacy support in any health service. So we've had incredibly positive feedback about that, even through established pharmacy units that were doing teletrials, through the mentoring, through the formalisation of an education and training program. They've now actually got the confidence to conduct trials. So they did know what they were doing, but this put a whole new level of education, support and professionalism within the pharmacy training program. And the same with the coordinators as well. And so we now feel that the coordinators have taken on education and training that was being run from a large metropolitan hospital, and they're building that, taking on board their own educators within their local health service and starting to build their own education and training. And cool. In terms of the fellows or early career researchers, Bendigo, I think, has been a showcase centre where their early career researcher has enabled them to now look next year to secure a second early career researcher.
And so fantastic.
What we see from that program is the person that's been there for the first 2 years is now looking to stay in that local community, which means that in the past, often the fellows will go for 2 years, come back to Metro. But because they've had a very positive experience, it's a formal program. They're mentored by the local health professionals and the local clinicians, but they've also got this ongoing support through metropolitan programs, which means that they remain current within clinical trials. They develop a pipeline and they continue to grow that pipeline. So we think the first 2 years of this education and training, this foundation, has really laid the foundations for which we can now build a trial program.
I'm chatting today with Anne Woollett, the director of Trial Hub, a clinical trials initiative designed to bring better care and access to rural and regional Australians. Earlier, Anne mentioned that Trial Hub is moving into its second stage, partnering with Mildura and Bass Coast Health Services. That second stage also includes Northern Health Services. Anne has written an op-ed for Insight Plus to accompany this podcast, and you will find the full link to that article in the show notes. If you're a first-time listener and you're liking what you're hearing, you can subscribe to our feed for free via your favourite podcast provider. You can also catch up on our back catalogue at mja.com.au/podcasts. back to our chat. Not only is it helping research be more representative, but it's also keeping clinician researchers who want to remain in rural, so it's helping the rural workforce as well.
Yes, because they feel supported and their practice remains current. They're up to date with the current clinical trials, access to new drugs. And then when they deliver those drugs, when those drugs move from a research setting into a clinical care setting, they've had experience in how to manage or how to deliver those drugs, what might be the side effects, what's the benefits, what the optimal delivery of those drugs are. That has been a really positive experience for the regional workforce.
Does the public, particularly the regional and rural public, do they understand what clinical trials are? Is there a need to explain those things more clearly?
I think there's a real opportunity to educate or inform the community. And a second pillar of our program is to take on ambassadors. So find somebody within the local community that has a vested interest in having clinical trials within their health service and really being the voice for that health service. Having a lived experience, so having participated in a clinical trial, often having to travel to a metropolitan service. So understanding the challenges that they have faced and then being that local ambassador in their local community so they can lobby for clinical trials, they can speak with confidence about the value of the program, and they can work with their local communities as ambassadors. So that's a really strong part of our program, about finding the ambassadors. And then the other component of it is really just helping consumers that work within local health services to really build confidence about being advocates, playing a role model, understanding what clinical trials are, what the benefits are for their local community. So bringing new drugs, bringing more upskilled workforce, retaining a workforce, and really being able to work within the health service to speak with confidence about the value of clinical trials.
When you say you're in Bendigo, La Trobe and down on the peninsula, presumably it's not just in Bendigo, it's the Bendigo region, isn't it? Because people can be, we can travel half an hour or an hour to Bendigo. So it's wider than just those centres, isn't it?
Yes. Whilst most of the oncology clinical trials need to be given within a health service, what we've done with melanoma in our program, one of our programs of work to support a melanoma flagship program, is to actually employ a navigator. So then that person works with GPs, which is the primary point of contact for patients, and then helps them to navigate their way within the health service and to then either be referred for melanoma care, but with a high focus about a clinical trial. And there's some new novel technologies around early detection and monitoring of melanoma that these navigator roles can then work across the community through the GP settings. And as those health services work with the community health services to raise awareness of clinical trials and help that pathway for small health services that might not have an oncology service but can in their community but can refer to a larger regional health service that can support them.
You mentioned GPs, and most of our listeners, or a lot of our listeners, are GPs. Are you contacting them directly, or are they being contacted through their PHN or their health service? What's the strategy for getting GPs really involved?
So we've just really started this work, and what we're looking to do is run some education sessions with GPs about the referral pathways and then work with the local communities about ongoing communication, looking at their systems so that we can help to integrate referral pathways from the GP service into those local health services, or where necessary, where there isn't a local support service, how they can come back to a big metropolitan health service. And we can maybe use digital support to help them either refer patients, receive some of the care back in the Metropolitan Health Service, the direct trial therapy, but then the follow-up and the ongoing care goes back to those GPs. So we're looking at the referral pathways and how we can optimise that and work with GPs. And we'll be looking at running some education and training programs, starting with melanoma, but then using that to build across more broadly the cancer programs.
What's the big picture, Anne? What's the end point? What would you like to see at the end of this?
We would love to see sustainable regional clinical trial centres. So out in regional Victoria, there are functioning clinical trial centres that have got a big enough clinical trial program that they're self-funding, but they retain a network, an interconnected network, where they continue to liaise in with a large metropolitan service. And when there's novel drugs coming through, we support them in understanding what they are. And as they move into later stage research, they can be delivered in those local communities through this interconnected network and support service.
And presumably nationally rather than just Victoria.
Yes.
Is Alfred Health that the only metro service involved, or is this across Melbourne as well?
So the Alfred has has what we think is the largest clinical trials program in Australia, located in one place. So it has 18 clinical trial programs across a very diverse range of diseases. Our oncology program is strong, and particularly within oncology, what we have done is connected with the other oncology programs across Victoria to make sure that no matter where you work, you undergo the same education and training. So we're working with a group called the Regional Trials Network that has services in regional Victoria, and for innovative clinical trial programs in our teletrials program, we're working with the Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre as well and the Department of Health in Victoria.
Are you confident that this is a bipartisan thing that will continue to get supported with good funding, good money?
We believe that we've built strong foundations. We've seen we now have 6 teletrials up and running. We've started to recruit patients to clinical trials. The feedback that we get from our regional partners has been outstanding. So we feel like we've got good foundations of which aim to continue to receive support. We would hope so, because we're starting to see this wonderful change in the way regional centres are feeling confident, the way patients are getting access to clinical trials, and we believe it's a really positive program and we've got some solid evidence to support it. What's really important about Trial Hub and what we have learnt is about the importance of investment with the executive of the health service. So there's a lot of initiatives coming nationally about one-stop shops and accreditation for clinical trial units. And what's really, really important is for the regional centres to retain a network with a large metropolitan hospital to meet those accreditation services. And the feedback that we get from the regional centres is, whilst they want to build their own clinical trial units, they understand the importance of the mentoring and the retaining of the relationship. It's really, really important for accreditation, ongoing support, and the conduct of those clinical trials. The centres that have gone it alone and haven't had ongoing mentoring struggle to retain a pipeline, struggle to get access to commercial clinical trials, sponsored clinical trials. They don't have the reputation, and they don't always have the complexity of the support services and radiology to be able to fully function independently. But through that partnership, particularly for those complex early phase trials, that partnership then enables them to get later stage clinical trials and build the portfolio. So we think the partnership and the relationships are really, really important. Thank you.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.